This is Digital Dave. Everybody, nod your heads. Come on.
Nod your head.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's rock and roll.
Come on. Get into it here. That's it. Swing that thing.
Yeah. Leave my thing out of it. All right. Anyway, joining us now that I've really gotten in trouble is Jonathan Shannon of Noah.
Hello.
Noah is good.
It is. It is very good.
And we're going to talk about Hurricane Hunters.
That's right. So we are based out of Lakeland, Florida at the Aircraft Operations Center. We have three Hurricane Hunter aircraft. So we have sort of a cheetah rhino situation here. So we've got two P3s.
A cheetah rhino. That's kind of an interesting description. But anyway, two P3s.
Two P3s. They're more rhinos that'll punch through the storm at about 8,000 to 10,000 feet, taking, you know, data that you can't really get any other way. So you don't have anybody on a skiff out there launching weather balloons, and the satellites can't really see all the way through the dense overcast layer above the hurricane itself. So these are taking the real in-situ data that initialize those models that are so important for people to know, you know, where to go and when it's going to come and how intense it might be.
You mean so important for people to ignore?
Yeah, well,
that's a different problem.
Well, we're out there flying, so please, you know, when they say evacuate, listen. Yeah, get out of there. And then the G4s are high-altitude aircraft, so it's more of our cheetah, very fast, can fly far, fast, and high. And it uses drop zones as well to sort of ring around this storm to figure out how the upper atmosphere is affecting this storm's life cycle. Where is it going to go? Is it got ability to strengthen more, or is it facing adverse conditions with like dry air aloft or wind shear you may have heard of before too? So it's
a
great mission.
You guys are the ones that provide all the information so the guys can say it's going to strengthen to a Cat 4 before tomorrow morning, that kind of thing.
Exactly, exactly. And we have a lot of scientific equipment on our aircraft. We have a sort of sister organization in the 53rd Weather Reconnaissance Squadron, which is Air Force Reserves. They fly C-130s out of Keesler Air Force Base. Both of us can do the general, hey, where's the hurricane at? How strong is it now? Our aircraft are basically flying laboratories, so with the radars and sensors we have on board, we're looking at where is it now, what exactly is going on inside, as you know, with the vertical velocities or the horizontal structure based on our Doppler radar and horizontal multimodal radar. But also we're flying satellite instruments that they're getting ready to fly, and weather satellites, so that we can test, you know, how well are they seeing what's going on down at the surface of the water as we're flying. So it's really neat mission. I'm happy to be part of it.
Oh, have you flown?
I have. I've flown on one mission in 2019 in Tropical Storm Barry. It was headed towards New Orleans. We have been super busy in 2020 and 2021, but with the pandemic, we sort of minimized our crews. So we had a lot of folks that were, you know, 5 to 8 on board the aircraft instead of our normal 15 to 16, you know, doing a lot of hats in the first and third most busy hurricane season.
Right.
So 2020 was the busiest hurricane season, and then 2005 was the second, and then 2021 was the third most busy season.
How far off the coast will you actually start picking up a storm and then flying out to it to look at it?
Yeah, that's a great question. So as I said, we're those aerial laboratories. So we've got a hurricane research division in NOAA that really wants to figure out, okay, what's happening with the genesis of this tropical wave? What makes it kick off into a tropical depression or a storm to become a hurricane? So we may pre-stage out into Barbados and fly as far east as we can get. And in 2019, I believe we flew Hurricane Lorenzo all the way out there. That was the furthest east that a Category 5 storm was ever discovered. Unfortunately, we also were the SAR asset of last resort for the motor vessel Bourbon Road during that storm as well. So we helped them recover.
So multi-mission.
Exactly. So we're there to try and help out however we can.
Wow. It's pre-staging in Barbados. That's tough duty.
Yeah, it is.
But somebody's got to do it.
It is. So Barbados, St. Croix, I think they did Aruba this past year. As well with potential tropical cyclone Bonnie that was skirting along Venezuela. So they were out of Aruba flying that before it went over and crossed over and became a hurricane in the eastern Pacific.
Now, we all know that hurricanes are spiral wind patterns, and you guys follow those wind patterns, but do you stay in a storm for hours at a clip, or will you penetrate it and then exit and then come back in again, or how does that work?
That's a great question. So our P3 will come in and we'll do what we call a figure four pattern. We'll punch through the storm and try and be as perpendicular as possible to it with our navigators. And then we'll reposition. We'll do a reposition leg about 115, 120 nautical miles from the center. We'll rotate around and then come through again and bisect the storm. So that way we get all four quadrants in about 4 to 6 hours of flying in the storm environment during a typical 8 to 10 hour mission.
Wow, that's a long mission.
I was going to say, that's got to be a bumpy ride, too.
It is. It's a bumpy ride. The bumpiest has been some of our supercell thunderstorm research that we've been doing out of Kansas. This past year, we did along Topeka, Kansas. So again, 8 to 10 hours just right in front of a supercell thunderstorm. So you can imagine about five to ten nautical miles off of the leading edge of that. It gets sporty.
Yeah, that's a nice way to put it. And a lot of lightning.
Yeah, that's true. And you were mentioning about going through the storm and spending more time in the storm. We're really excited about a new innovation we have now with uncrewed aircraft systems. So typically we launch drops-ons, which are like weather balloons in reverse, and they'll get a sample of the atmosphere as they go down. So that's more of a picture. We're looking at getting a video of what's going on at about 1,000 to 1,500 feet inside this storm, just off the water, about 1,000 to 1,500 feet. So that's really exciting for us from research perspective to really understand what is it about this warm water that fuels this very powerful storm in the atmosphere, and what is that transition in the boundary layer. So I'm excited.
Oh, so boy. You're getting this equipment to hover 1,000, 1,500 feet?
I don't think it's possible to hover in a hurricane.
Well, maybe not.
It's going for a ride.
All right, let's just say you're holding altitude in a hurricane.
Yes.
Are you talking a drone-style piece of equipment?
That's right. Okay. Yeah, we're working with three different sort of vendors that are giving us some experimental drones that we're going to be launching from our aircraft. We've got one that is mission ready for this year. So once we get a storm, once the Saharan air layer dissipates and the lid comes off this bubbling pot that is the Caribbean and tropical Atlantic, it's game on. So we're going to give it a shot.
Are these designed to be recovered, or you just like the drop zones the way they go?
Yep, the way they go, they are giving their life for science, but we appreciate their efforts. So just pour one out for them after five, once you're actually able to pour one out. One out for the drones and the drop zones.
I was going to say, how do you launch these things? You've got a pressurized aircraft.
No, you just open the window and throw it, I guess.
Sure, just kick the door open. Boom. See ya.
So that's a good question. We have on board a great team that works together. One station in there is called the AVAP station, or Airborne Vertical Atmospheric Profiling System station. And so they are the ones that plug in the dropson, get it acclimated to what the flight level data is. In the P3, because we're flying unpressurized at 8 to 10,000 feet, there is a little bit of difference in pressure. So they put it in there. There's a little guillotine switch that opens a little slot and gets sucked out. In the G4, it's a bit more of a risky proposition at 41 to 45,000 feet. They have a big system reinforced where they open up like this thick lucite top, put it in, close that, and then arm and open up again another switch, and it goes out and drop those. So the G4 will drop about 40 to 50 in a storm. While it's flying around, the P3 usually about 20 to 30.
Okay. And with the that's another design requirement for the unmanned manufacturer, because it's getting dropped at some ungodly airspeed. So it's going to take a bit of a beating until it's ready to fly.
That's true. So our airspeed as we're going through storms in the P3 is about 210 knots. That's our sweet spot, so that as we're getting lifted up and down, we don't stall out if we lose a lot of airspeed, you know, if we take a big hit. And then also, we don't overstress the airframe if we take another big hit, because we don't want to have a lot of force on it.
Right. They do routinely overstress the people inside the airplane.
Yeah, no kidding. Are there dents in the ceiling from where people have bounced off?
There is one dent in Kermit. So this is where a life raft came unmoored during Hurricane Hugo in 1989. So this was, they were flying from Barbados, and they were expecting it to be about a tropical storm or maybe a low category one, but it rapidly intensified to about a category 3 or 4, and they think they might have hit like an embedded mesoscale in there. It took about 6 G's, unmoored the life raft, and it's a huge dent in the bar that goes the length of the tube to help, to help you figure out where the emergency exits are.
That's the airplane they had here that we toured.
In 2019, that's right.
And the guy, I remember the guy explaining that. Yeah, he said, we leave that there just to shake them up a little bit when they get on board.
Yeah, it's a feature of all the tours. We tell that story.
I hate to say this, but I would love to go on one of those flights. Man.
I don't hate to say it at all.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, there's certain people that don't want me on those airplanes, but anyway.
Yeah, like most of us.
Right. Yeah, you can just use me as a drop sond, right?
Hey, it's wet down here.
Yeah, it's still raining.
So where can we find you on Air Venture?
Yeah, we are at Hangar D, part of the International Federal Partnership Pavilion. We've got one of our twin otters. Doesn't go into hurricanes, but it is low, slow, good to go. Does a lot of our low-level surveys. But come on and visit us in Hangar D there. We've also got our SARSAT group and our Aviation Weather Center, plus several other federal agencies, National Transportation and Safety Board, Park Service, Customs Border Protection. Come on out.
All right.
Sounds like a plan.
So make sure you do that, but don't you take my seat on that hurricane.
That's
flight.
Right. Get out of there. Or we'll drop you overboard so fast.
Yeah, right. Yeah. What's your job? Drops on.
Yeah.
All right. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.